Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we are going to be talking about the huge news that the Senate has passed the so-called Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which of course contains the huge updates to the EV tax credit here in the US. We'll talk about if there are any changes to this version from the version we had talked about previously. Then we've got a few pieces of factory news, some news on FSD beta, and more. Looking at the markets, the trend of a strong start for Tesla and then a decline throughout the rest of the day continued today, Tesla peaking at around $915 per share, falling to $871 to close the day, up just 0.75%, still outperforming the NASDAQ, which was down 0.1% on the day. Of course, for the market this week, all eyes are going to be on the CPI report or Consumer Price Index report coming Wednesday morning, and then we'll have Producer Price Index or PPI on Thursday as well. For CPI, it looks like the expectation is for a 0.2% increase month over month, which would be a decline from the month over month increases we have been seeing. That would be for the headline number, and then core CPI is expected to increase 0.5% month over month. From a Tesla calendar perspective, we should be getting July sales data very soon. Sounds like that is expected to be reported tomorrow morning in China at 10 a.m. Beijing time, so that would be 10 p.m. Eastern tonight on Monday and 7 p.m. Pacific. Remember, we had previously talked about how the CPCA was estimating that Tesla's wholesale sales, retail and export, would be 30,000 for July. Remember, that is different than production. We should see production outpace. So I was expecting 40,000 before we heard that number. That's kind of the benchmark that I would put for production. All right, let's move into the electric vehicle tax credit. Of course, this is being updated as the Senate has now passed the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. That doesn't completely mean this is finalized yet. It will still need to pass a vote in the House of Representatives and then go to the president to be signed into law. But the Senate was the high bar to clear, and it should easily pass both of those next steps. So for most intents and purposes, should be pretty much finalized now. So the big question for this group is, okay, after all these changes, where did the EV tax credit end up? About a week and a half ago, we walked through in excruciating detail the most recent proposal. Thankfully, I saved that PDF, so we can compare that proposal that I had mapped out with the newest version here. So right off the bat, just to show that these are actually different documents, we can see that the old version on the left was 725 pages, the new version on the right, 755 pages. So they've added a total of 30 pages with this final proposal. I then put these two PDFs into a difference checker. And as we can see, the EV tax credit portion of each is extremely, extremely similar. Not a whole lot of changes here. Only two differences that I was able to find from the proposal that we have previously gone through. The first is very minor, just an insignificant clarification on the wording for the critical minerals requirement. More on that shortly. And then the other update I was able to find was an additional paragraph under the transfer of credit section, which, remember, the transfer of credit section allows a taxpayer to transfer the credit to a dealer, which is then able to actually offer the credit at the point of sale. So even though this is a non-refundable credit, which number one can only offset a maximum of your tax liability, and number two comes back at the end of the year when you do your taxes, this transfer of credit stipulation would allow a dealer, which, as we had previously talked about, a dealer would include Tesla based on the language in this bill, because in this bill it just means anybody eligible to sell vehicles. So shouldn't be any problem for Tesla on that. But anyway, the transfer of credit allows the taxpayer to let the dealer put the value of the credit up front on the sale, so the taxpayer can take immediate advantage of that through a discounted vehicle. Then the dealer gets the credit from the government. So we had talked before about how that was a little bit confusing. What if the taxpayer actually isn't eligible for that full amount that the dealer gives? Well, they have now added a paragraph here about recapture. And basically it just says that if you as a buyer receive too much credit at point of sale, well, then they're going to recapture that. That's going to have to be reimbursed by you in the form of greater taxes at the end of the year. So adding that makes it completely make sense from an accounting perspective. But getting buyers and sellers both to equally understand and communicate that still seems like a little bit of a challenge. Anyway, those two minor details are the only changes that I am seeing in here from what we had previously discussed. So I am going to refer people back to that episode. 99.9% of what we had talked about before is still applicable for this final proposal that the Senate has passed. So I'll link to that video in the description, and then I have also updated my markup of how the actual law will change with this final version, and I'll link to that as well. So because we've already gone through all of this, I don't want to go through it all again, but just a really quick high-level summary. Starting on January 1st, Tesla would become eligible for a $7,500 credit on any SUV, pickup truck, or van starting below $80,000, and any other vehicle starting below $55,000, though eligibility is capped by income for joint filers at $300,000 or for an individual filer at $150,000. That stuff's all pretty clear. The biggest questions for Tesla and for other automakers are going to revolve around battery components and battery minerals. Starting off right away in 2023, eligibility for half of the credit is determined by at least 40% of the value of the battery minerals being from North America or from free trade agreement countries. Tesla's got a variety of different packs. I don't think the lithium iron phosphate packs would be eligible currently, but maybe Tesla can get there once CATL builds their factory in North America. And even for the nickel-based packs, I think tough to guess on that as well. The other half of the credit is determined based on the value of battery components being manufactured or assembled in North America. That has to be at least 50% in 2023, scaling up from there. Certainly Tesla's packs out of Giga Nevada or Giga Texas should be eligible for that, but probably not on the lithium iron phosphate packs, at least not yet. In terms of being able to meet those requirements or the amount of vehicles that are going to be sold meeting all or part of those requirements, I think Tesla is very clearly in a leadership position there. So despite all of the problems with this, again, plug-in hybrids with 7 kWh of batteries can be eligible for a full credit too. Unfortunately, that did not change, but despite all the problems out of all of the proposals that we have seen, this is one of the friendlier, if not the friendliest, that we have seen to Tesla out of all of them. Assuming Tesla can meet these requirements, it should cement high prices and high margins for Tesla in the United States for as long as this credit exists. And although technically the tax credit does go to the taxpayer, this, through higher prices, is likely to put more money in Tesla's pocket than any other automakers in the world. So more research will be needed on eligibility in terms of the battery minerals, but if Tesla is indeed confirmed eligible for that portion of the credit, at least for the nickel-based packs, I'll likely be increasing my forecast for average selling price, for margins on US sales. That minerals thing is the biggest open question. If you do have other questions, again, feel free to refer to that other video where we walk through all the details. If that doesn't work, give the comments a shot. I can't guarantee, though, that I'll be able to answer all those questions. One point that I was not clear on in the initial video was how the 2 to 3 wheel vehicles were affected. Remember, that portion of the current legislation will get scratched out in this new version. And I did realize that it does stipulate that to qualify, a vehicle must have at least 4 wheels. So it looks like companies like Zero or Arcimoto or Aptera, Livewire, this would be a negative change for those companies. They'd be now excluded from any credit. Similar thing with Rivian and Lucid, not really in their benefit either because of those price caps. It's another flaw with this whole structure. It makes it really hard to start out at a high price and work your way down as you grow volume. All right, let's move on from the EV tax credit. We've got a few factory updates here, starting off with news out of Indonesia. Maybe not a factory update, but supply chain update here. Reuters today reporting via CNBC Indonesia that Tesla has signed contracts worth about $5 billion to buy materials for their batteries from nickel processing companies in Indonesia, according to the Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment. He apparently said, quote, "We are still in constant negotiation with Tesla, but they have started buying 2 excellent products from Indonesia," end quote. Now, we have seen some inaccurate reporting on Indonesia and what exactly Tesla is doing there before, but assuming this report is correct, $5 billion is probably enough for 250,000 metric tons, maybe even more, nickel, and that could be enough for roughly 5 million electric vehicles. Of course, we don't know the time horizon of these supposed contracts, but that is a significant deal. As we have talked about, Indonesia is the largest producing country of nickel. Unfortunately, if we go back to the EV tax credit, Indonesia does not fall on the list of countries that the United States has a free trade agreement with. Again, some percentage of minerals can still be from non-free trade agreement countries, so it doesn't necessarily mean that nickel can't be used in vehicles that do end up getting the credit someday. And of course, Tesla can use that nickel for vehicles outside of the US, but certainly would be easier if Indonesia was on that list. As far as other possible collaboration between Indonesia and Tesla, that is still an ongoing conversation. Actually sounded like the two sides were going to meet today, but there has been no factory agreement or anything like that signed yet. Next up, we've got a report on Tesla and Canada. Electricautonomy.ca is reporting that Tesla has initiated talks with the Ontario government to perhaps increase the attractiveness of building manufacturing facilities in Ontario. I guess Tesla is required to disclose these lobbying efforts, and in July, Tesla disclosed their efforts to, quote, engage with the government and its agencies to identify opportunities for industrial and or advanced manufacturing facility permitting reforms with the intent to increase the competitiveness of Ontario and its ability to attract capital investment through establishing approvals timeframes that are competitive with high growth manufacturing locations in North America, while also working with government to identify or align incentive programs that could further increase the attractiveness of Ontario for industrial and or advanced manufacturing investment, end quote. Of course, with Elon's comments at the shareholder meeting about a possible factory being announced later this year, that stokes rumors that maybe that could be in Canada. Elon kind of laughed at some of those suggestions too, perhaps hinting at it, but this could just as easily be Tesla lobbying on behalf of supply chain. We know Tesla has been signing some contracts to get nickel out of Canada, and anything like that would certainly help Tesla in regard to the EV tax credit that we walked through. Now, of course, Tesla could also be lobbying on their own behalf for their own factory interests, but just want to make sure to point out some other possibilities as well. All right, next we've got an update on Giga Shanghai. As we have been talking about, the Model 3 production line there has been down. It was expected that that would run through August 7th, and production would resume today, August 8th. In Wuwa's video that he had posted on Friday, he had said that, as expected, Tesla had now finally completed that downtime for those upgrades. That's a little bit confusing since that was actually before that date that he mentions as it being completed, but maybe he updated the description later on or just meant to say that it was still expected to be completed, but as far as I know, there have not been any further delays, so hopefully we'll get some more confirmation that those upgrades are now finally done and we can head into a glorious period here for Giga Shanghai to wrap up Q3 and move into Q4. All right, last couple of quick things. Elon this weekend, as he had mentioned at the shareholder meeting, said that FSD beta 10.69 will drop on August 20th. So he'd mentioned that maybe 10.13 would become 10.69 if it was good enough. Looks like that is the case according to Elon. And he also noted that this release will be big. So we've talked plenty about that update. We'll wait and see, but certainly not lacking in hype. And then the last thing, last week, Lucid did report their earnings. They did lower their production guidance for this year. This is the second time in, I believe, as many quarters. They are now expecting just 6,000 to 7,000 vehicles to be produced this year, which is a 50% reduction in their previous guidance after they made 1,400 vehicles in the first half of the year. They also reported that their free cash flow for the quarter was negative $820 million, and they say their current cash and cash equivalents is about $4.6 billion. So they don't have that many quarters left without raising capital to get their production figured out. Last quick thing for today then, just a scheduling update. I do have some traveling going on this week. My brother is actually getting married in September, so his bachelor party is this week. Gonna spend some time with some family before that too, so traveling, and I'll probably have to take off Wednesday and Friday this week, but I will confirm that later on. That will wrap it up for today though. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, August 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.